The message title that is for us today is called, We Never Back Down. And you catch on as we go on, and I hope you get the feel of why we are saying we never back down. So Hebrews 12:1 says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily traps us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So before we get into what this race is all about, or what backing, we never back down, is all about, let's find out what running and what a race is. The definition of a race, first of all, we start with the definition of a run. The word run means to move at a speed faster than a walk, never having both or all the feet on the ground at the same time. I don't know if there's some people that run with both their feet on the ground. I don't think there's anyone. If there's someone, maybe you should come to me. I need to see that. The other definition is the word race. What does the word race mean? Race means a competition between runners, horses, or vehicles, to see which is the fastest in covering a course. So we're saying we are surrounded by a huge, huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith. So let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so traps us up, and let us run with endurance. Let us run with endurance. As children of God, the moment we decide to become Christians, the moment we say, yes, Jesus, come into my life, the moment we say, I give my life to you, come save me, be the Lord of my life, what happens is that Jesus engages us into a race. That's the moment we begin to run. So each and every person, if you have accepted Christ in your life, you are in a race. There are a number of people that in the Word of God that give us examples of what a race is. And some of these people, we can say, yeah, they had their lives were quite good. Some of them, their lives were not so good. But I believe that we can learn from these people. And one of the person that I have with me here is Joseph. Joseph was a man. He was a young man. I know he grew old to be, yeah, but he was a young man at one point. So when he was young, I think he was about, like, maybe in his teenage years, somewhere there, he had a dream. And that dream was given to him by God. And God was just simply telling him about the race that he had to run, about the race that he had to take. So, but looking at Joseph being young, he decided to tell his brothers about the dream, and now his course ended up being taken in a wrong direction. And now he ended up in the lives or in the house of Potiphar. And there in his house, there were so many things that happened to him. But with Joseph, he had a race to run. And even when he took up that race, he didn't just say, you know what? Yeah, God has shown me this dream. God has shown me this vision. So how do I run this race? Or this race doesn't look like it's the direction that I should take. But despite the wicked slander against Joseph and the repeated attempts, you know, the repeated attempts where he was being seduced and everything, he didn't back down. He didn't say, no, I'm this dream or this race is not, it's not mine. He didn't say that. Another person we have is David. Despite David's wrong choices, we know he made wrong choices, lots of wrong choices, and his bad parenting, we can see David didn't back down. David didn't stop at a point where he said, no, you know what, this Jesus stuff, I know you've called me to do this, I know you've asked me to do that, but I'm not going to do that. But instead, he persevered. He took on the stand and he kept on. So with these people, we can see that these people had a race to run. But these people, these are just examples. These are just examples. It's our race. It's our race. These people have gone before us. And there's also another guy. This guy, he's cool. He's awesome. And he's just hanging out with him just makes life fun. It makes things interesting. This person is none other than our Lord Jesus. He's a cool guy. And looking at his life, the time that he was born and the time that he was a young person and the time that he was baptized and now he had to, he started gathering the disciples. He had a race to run. And he faced all sorts of challenges in his race. We may sometimes feel like we are going through different things, or like different challenges and here and there, but one thing that we should know is that Jesus faced everything. He faced every challenge and he ran the race. Everything that each and every person is going through right now, Jesus faced it all. And Jesus is one of those people, when we run our race, he's one of those people who we are talking about in Hebrews 12 verse 1, where it says we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith. We are surrounded. So these are some of the people who are standing, who are in that cloud of witnesses. Some of those people have gone before us. And these people were not just doing it for the sake of just, okay, let me just live life, or let me just do. But these people were in a league. They were in a league. It's like a race. There are people that they put at the beginning of a race. They give them a baton. And there are certain people, after 100 meters, they tell them, okay, there you find somebody else. May you pass on that baton to that person. That's how the race is. So there are certain people, and that's what has happened to us. Those people who've gone before us, people like Jesus, the baton has now been passed on to us. So there's certain things that cause us not to run our race. If you take time to just look at yourself in your heart and look at your life, you will realize that there's certain things that are holding you back, that are bringing you back, that are making you back down, that are causing you not to reach where you want to go. Some of these things, I would say, point number one, I would say, when we talk about perseverance, we say we must keep on running regardless of dictators. People, there are certain people in our lives that are watching us run. They are watching us run and they're telling us how we should run. They are pointing at us and saying, you know what, maybe when you run, your legs don't look right when you're running, or this and that. Those are the people that cause us not to run, some of the, because we're focused on them. People that constantly criticizing and constantly telling you, maybe you are not worth it, you are not this and that, you can't make it, you are not capable. These are some of the detectors. So that's point number one. Point number two is, we shall keep on running regardless of distractions. What are some of the distractions like in your life? What are some of the things that distract you? When you are running the race, what are some of those things? Those are the things that cause you not to persevere. When we run our race, one thing that we should have in mind is this. We should be single-minded. We know where we are going. We know where we are headed. We know that when we run this race, at the end of this race, there is something there. At the end of this race, there's something that's happening there. We should keep on running without falling. We are going to fall, but we should keep on running. Even when we fall, we need to get up. We need to persevere. We need to be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that those who run a race all run? But only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. So 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run all run? So, we are all running the race. We are all running the race. Everybody's running the race. But how many people do we see winning at the end of the race? How many people do we see actually finishing the race? How many people do we see do that? Very few people do that. But when you look at the way we've been created by God, we have been created so that we can run and finish the race. When we run our race, we should make sure that we have a winning attitude in our minds. And we should run intentionally, not thinking, today I don't feel like running, tomorrow I don't feel like running. But we should run intentionally, because there's so many things that will distract us. There's so many things that will come our way. Emotions, for instance. We get emotions, different emotions all the time. Sometimes if it's raining, you don't feel like going out because it's raining. And then you say, okay, I'll make my decision based on the rains. When the sun is up, you feel, oh, it's sunny. Let me put on my orange dress, or let me wear that orange tie, and you're all excited. But it's not about how we feel. It's not about our emotions. It's about running intentionally. Even when we feel like things are not okay, we run intentionally. Amen. There's a group of believers in the Bible, and these are believers who were in the church of Corinth. These were believers just like us. And it's amazing how, you know, the body of Christ has been graced, and they've been given, God has given them that grace to do things exceedingly, and they can do things not in their own strength, but out of their own strength. But it's amazing to see that the people in Corinth, the church in Corinth, Christians, and it was very, at that time, it was a time when the gospel was just brought to them. And these are some of the examples that we can see of believers who, instead of running their race, they got stuck. They got stuck, and the point where they got stuck is a very weird place, because some people get stuck when they're halfway. By them, they didn't even start. They didn't even start. The gospel was presented to them. The gospel was there with power. And you can imagine the revival at that time. You can imagine the excitement, people wanting to heal the sick, people wanting to... But those guys got stuck. They got stuck. And these are some of the things they got stuck in. Others were complaining about the race. Some of them were complaining, no, some people are not dressed right for the race. Others were complaining, no, we're not gifted enough for the race. Imagine some of the things that we complain about. No, maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I might not be qualified. Maybe I might not be able, I'm not capable. Some of those things that we're complaining about cause us to stand in a place where we are stagnant, where we can't even start. Even when the baton has been given to us, we are not moving forward because we are allowing distractions to take over. We are allowing circumstances to take over. So when we run our race, one thing that these people didn't do at that time is that they forgot to keep their eyes on Jesus. When we run our race, our focus should be on God. It should be on Jesus, because he's the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. We are not the ones who give ourselves the strength. It's not us. It's not our strength. But it is in our weakness that our strength is made perfect. His strength is made perfect because of our weakness. Imagine if we were strong and we were brave and we could do everything that we wanted to do. Imagine that. Imagine. Then we wouldn't have any room for God to come through for us. We wouldn't have any room for even to kneel down and pray and ask God to bless us. Because we can do it. Because we can do it. But when we focus our eyes on Jesus, we realize that there is so much that we are lacking and there is so much that He's willing to give. There's a lot that He has for us in store. Amen. So let's not get easily distracted. We need to be honest about certain things in our lives. The points that I'm going to give you, these are points in number two. And some of these things that we need not to allow to distract us. These are things like weights. These weights that we see in Hebrews 12 verse 1. It talks about different weights that weigh us down. And I'm going to give you the number of different weights that cause us not to move forward, cause us not to start, cause us to be stagnant. The weight of old habits. You know, when we become Christians, we can't say that, you know, we are new, yes, we are new in Christ, but we can't say that our minds are also new. Everything has been changed. You can't remember anything. We can't remember anything. Our eyes have never seen anything like zombies. No, we can't say that. But there are certain things that we remember. There are certain habits that won't just fall off. They won't fall off. Those habits are there. And because those habits are from your old nature, and since habits are things that we've learned to do, it will take time. So those habits, we need to allow those habits to just fall off. We need to allow them to just like an open book, just like something that's been opened for the first time. We need to allow that to happen. So we need to be honest about those things. What are those old habits that I know are causing me not to get to my destination, that are causing me not to reach where I'm supposed to be? What are they? The second point is B, the weight of dead relationships. You know, it's sad to see, I've also done that before, it's sad to see that there are certain relationships that you can get firecrackers and try to start those, but they never just work. They're dead. They're dead. Just like the Dead Sea, they're dead. There's no life. There's no life. But we try to allow those relationships and we pour in energy, money, time. Can I pick you up? Can I this and that? We try to pour in so much. But those things can't live. I wish you could say dry bones live like Elijah, but they're dead. They're dead. And you find that those things are weighing us down. We are not going forward. Because the moment maybe you would even read the word of God, 2 minutes later you are back because you are trying to revive something that is dead. So let's leave the dead relationships behind. Another weight is a bad attitude. What attitude do we have when it comes to running? When we are running, what kind of attitude is coming out? What kind of attitude is being reflected? Is it an attitude where you're nagging throughout, you know, I can't stand this, this is just too much, you know, I can't run, I can't wake up, I can't do what and what. You will not move forward because that's a weight. Imagine if I was, like, I'm standing right here and I had a huge traveling bag on my back. I'm sure by halfway through what I'm saying, I'll be on the floor and asking one of the ushers to help me. Imagine if I put rocks or things. That's how weights are. Weights are not tiny little papers and pieces, no. They are heavy. They're like rocks, big things. They drain you. They take away your strength. Even when you've got the energy to do something, you don't do it because they just drain you. Those are some of the things that we need to look at and leave behind. What is my attitude like? What am I responding to certain situations in a positive way or in a negative way? What am I doing about this situation? The other weight is trials and tribulations. Last week we looked at the storms. We looked at storms coming through the storms and everything. So this scripture is coming from last week and it says, so this is a continuation, huh? And it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It says that in me, it says so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. We are in Christ. We are in Christ. It means we have that peace. We have that peace. But when it comes to things that are really bad, I know certain situations, they are bad. They are terrible. But what are we doing in that situation? Are we allowing that situation to take over? Or are we allowing that situation to happen just as this has happened? But are we allowing to grow through that process? We do have a scripture that encourages us in those situations. And this is James 1, 2 to 3. It says, my brothers or sisters, my brethren or sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. For you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. It produces that character. It produces that that right standing. Because you are not allowing all those things that have been hit at you to actually knock you down. You're not allowing those things. You're still standing strong. And that peace is already given to us. That peace is already there. Can you imagine that? But we never realize that that peace is already given to us. We allow ourselves to, we just allow the trials and the tribulations to just take us over. So we leave those weights behind. I had given you number one and number two. Those points were falling under number two. So number three, we can say, we shall keep on running patiently. Patience is something that almost everybody has to work with. There's just some things where you want to try and push here and there and force and everything. But when it comes to running the race, no one has ever run a race where they just ran and they jumped and they're already by the door. There is no such a race. That's why it's called a race. It's one step at a time. It's one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. That's when you can say that you're running your race. So we allow patience to take over. We allow that perseverance as it is working in us, we allow that to happen. Because when we run a race, it's not something that it's one second it's gone and we're doing something else. It's a lifetime. The race that we run is a lifetime. It's a lifelong process. I'll give an example of certain things that most people would. I would say even myself, I would try to just allow the whole lot of distractions and whole lot of trials and whole lot of dictators say whatever they want. And then my feet become as if I'm wearing shoes that are, there's a stone underneath. And I keep on trying. But one thing that we have to know, one thing that I always tell myself is that we need to take heart. Because the reason why we are running this race, is that Christ ran the race for us. He did that. We need to take heart. We need to allow what is happening. We need to allow our race to be run without us forcing what needs to be there or what doesn't need to be there. I have a story of a certain young man. And this young man was from a country, I won't mention which country. And this person was asked, they were taught to run in a marathon. They were taught to represent their person, in that person to represent them from that country. And as this person was preparing for the marathon, that country couldn't provide anything. That country couldn't provide what was needed. Like maybe the tools that they needed to for that person to exercise and for that person to run, the equipment that they needed to have, that person didn't have. So you can imagine that the practice that they had wasn't up to standard. They were practicing, but it wasn't the way, you know, you're running a marathon and all these countries, they've got all these funny things they use, bodybuilding stuff and all that. But this person never had anything because the country was poor. The country couldn't provide those things. So this person went there instead. And as the marathon was going on, people were running, they were all going round, and then finally the first person managed to reach the finish line. The second person, the third. And you know, all these people just went round, they reached the finish line, and they finished their race. But on that running track, there was still one person who was still running. And this person kept on running, but they would get tired, they would fall on their face, they would get up, they would run, they would fall on their face, they'll keep on running, they'll get up again until that person reached the finish line. And when he finished the finish line, he didn't reach with the strength that he thought he was going to reach with, but he fell flat on his face. And the Red Cross people surrounded this person, people who were interviewing and all that, and they're wondering what is, like, you know, I don't understand, you know, the race had already finished, and you had already lost. You had already, you know, why did you finish the race? Why did you keep on running? Why did you keep on running? And he said, you know what, my country may have sent me here, but they didn't send me, I know they didn't send me here to win this race. They knew that because I wasn't capable. But one thing that they sent me to do was to finish. Was to finish the race. So how many of us here are actually running in such a way that we can see that we are finishing our race? How many of us here are running knowing that we are headed this way and not that way? Remember, we are all engaged in a race. And each race should be run by us as individuals. Then, when we run as individuals, then we run as a church. It's each and every person doing their part. It's each and every person doing what they have been, what they need to do. How many of us are running the race? You know, I can just imagine what went around this man's mind when he was running that race. I can imagine the weight of tiredness to quit and to stop and just to throw in the towel and say, you know, I can't do this. These guys already knew. He had every right to say, these guys, they knew I wasn't going to finish. Then what's the point? He had every right to just walk up to the finish line. But he said, no, I'm going to finish because they sent me to finish the race. Christ has sent us to finish the race. He's equipped us to finish our race. He's given us everything that we need so that we can finish our race. Let's not allow weights. Let's not allow distractions, things that will cause us not to be on course. Let's allow us to run that race. And you know, when that race is being run, obviously in that place, there were people that kept on cheering. Imagine the faces of those people when he was running. Everybody knew he was the last one, and there was no point of him reaching his final destiny. There was no point. Everybody knew he had lost. But imagine that silence, and imagine the other people that ran and they finished their race, the noise and the excitement of those countries that won. That's exactly what happens to us when we're running our race, when we are persevering, when we're not allowing certain things to distract us, that is what happens. We are running, and people, the great cloud of witnesses, are cheering us on. They're telling us, run your race, finish your race. Just like Forrest Gump, run, Forrest, run, Forrest. That's how we're being cheered on. That's how we're being cheered. Because God knows we can do it. We can do it. We are capable. And you know what? When we run that race and we reach our destination, we will find Jesus there waiting for us. Waiting for us. And he will be proud of us because we have run that race. We have run that race. A research was carried out. This research was on people, Christians that have run, that ran their race. Christians that had finished. Christians that passed on the baton. And this research, the results that came through was that there were 4 marks of those who finished. 4 marks of those who finished. And these marks help, these marks can help us see what it means to persevere. These marks will help us to understand what it means to run our race with perseverance and all. The first mark is that they enjoyed intimacy with God. Remember the people, the church of Corinth, the reason why they were distracted was because their eyes were not focused on Jesus. Their eyes were focused on things that were around them. Their eyes were focused on the things that didn't even matter to God. The things that didn't even make sense. What are those things that we are focusing on right now? The things that don't, they won't even make sense. What are those things? But we are told here that the people that endured over a lifetime, the people that persevered, these are people who enjoyed intimacy with God. Number two, they were obedient to God's word. Then number three, they had a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Do we have a genuine faith in Jesus Christ? Number four, they had the ability to receive counsel from others. I think that's one of the hardest things, to receive somebody coming to you and telling you, you know what, I think there you didn't do that right. Admitting to that and saying, you know, you were right. I think I didn't do that right. But these people received counsel. Received counsel. If we want to persevere, let's allow people to speak into our lives, to tell us where we are going wrong. And no, these are not just people, but these are people in the body of Christ, people who love us, people who know what it is to run the race, people who know what it means to persevere. Amen. Right now, I would just like us to bow our heads and just... let's just bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. To those of us, as a church, every person, put yourself in these words, to those of us that are running the race. This morning, one thing that we should recognize is that we should be sure to run so that we finish, to run so that we receive the prize, to run so that the baton, our part, is done. Let us run so that we don't back down, so that we don't throw in the towel, so that we don't give up. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father God, for your word, O God. Thank you, Father God, for this race that we have to run. It may not be easy, O God, but we know that you have given us your strength, O God. We know that your strength, O God, has been made perfect in our weakness, O God. We may not understand certain things, but we know that the goal is to finish, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. How many in this place are asking themselves, am I running the race to finish? Or have I even started running the race? If you're that person that's asking yourself if you are still running the race, you are a Christian and you want to continue to run the race, but you don't know whether you're running or not. Simply said, if you haven't taken the time to live in God's word, you've taken two steps backward, but you want to get back on track. If you're in this place and you're that person, please raise up your hand so that we pray with you and we can encourage you in that area that is a weight, in that area that is a distraction. Is there anyone in this place? There's a hand. Thank you for that hand. Is there any other hand? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Is there any other hand? Thank you for that hand. 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 Thank you, Jesus. And the other group of people, if you haven't started running your race and you want to start running your race, you want to start running your race, you want to pick up the baton, you want to keep on running till you see yourself at the end with a great cloud of witnesses. If you're in this place and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want Him in your heart, so that peace of running that race is there with you, that peace of perseverance is there. If you're in this place and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and you want to do that, I'm encouraging you and asking you to just lift your hand so that we pray with you also. Do we have any hands? There's a hand there. Is there any other hand? Is there any other hand? Thank you, Jesus. For those of you that lifted your hands the first time I called the altar call, let's just pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you that you still love me. Thank you that you still want me in the race. Help me follow you. Help me to run the race. Help me to see that I can finish. Help me to leave behind all the dead weights. Thank you, Jesus. I would ask all those people that lifted up their hands to please come to the front. Please join me in the front. Shall we just rise to our feet and give those guys a hand? Yeah. something about Christ is that we are never alone. We don't run the race all by ourselves. In the world, yes, we will run our race. In the world, we will run our race. But it's according to the world standard, and there's no one backing us up. There's no one. But with us, there's more who are on our side than the world. We are running our race to win. And I thank God right now for this opportunity. I really do. For you guys. Because the race has just begun. But don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Trials will come. Tribulations will come. Odd habits will knock at the door. But don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Because they're still cheering you on. They know you can finish. You have the ability to finish. You have that strength to finish. Amen. Let's just lift up our hands and just... repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving my life, oh God. I ask that you come into my life. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross of Calvary so that I may be set free. Cleanse me, O God, from all unrighteousness. May I begin this race with perseverance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.